Yep.
So, our case number 5, 23761.
His back is killing him, so he's gonna stand.
About 5 seconds now.
That's fine.
Yeah, can't really stay in one position a long time.
Good morning, would you identify yourself?
Good morning, my name is Chris Lindstrom, I'm the Chief of Police at South Windsor Police Department.
And would you spell your name, sir?
The last name is L-I-N-D-S-T-R-O-M.
Thank you, and with you is?
Lieutenant, you wanna introduce yourself, go ahead.
Absolutely, Chief, thank you. That's quite all right. Good morning, Lieutenant Adam Rosenberg, former District Commander of the Eastern District in Connecticut here, current Commander of the Kronos Unit, and a retired U.S. Navy Intelligence Officer.
Would you spell your last name, sir?
Sure, Rosenberg, R-O-S-E-N-B-E-R-G.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brief statement of the case, Chief?
Sure. Good morning, as you're aware, we're here to discuss a pistol permit that was applied for in the town of South Windsor on April 30th, 2023. I am and was the chief at the time, and that permit was denied based on suitability. The appellant applied and was presented with a, as we did the background investigation, a complex in-house history that I'll be happy to get into more detail of. So I denied the permit application based on suitability.
Thank you.
I'll pass.
Okay. As I stated, the appellant applied in March of 2023. As we do with all our permit applications, we do a routine and standard background investigation. It includes criminal history searches, fingerprint verifications, things of that nature. As I mentioned in my opening statement, one of those things is to check the person's in-house history. When I saw the appellant's application, I recognized the name from my personal dealings in cases I supervised and responded to over the years. I knew that it was going to be a complex in-house history, and that when I did pull the history, it was indeed that. So I asked because we had there's a history that has been pardoned by the state, and I understand that, and that to a degree the arrest record, things like that, are not to be discussed. However, I'm willing to and will discuss my own personal observations and dealings and matters and knowledge regarding the appellant. And I called Lieutenant Rosenberg, who I recalled had assisted us with some of our cases when our agencies overlapped dealing with the appellant. So I'd like to ask Lieutenant Rosenberg, if you could you tell the board what your role was with the state police in and around January of 2016?
So during that time, I had been a detective with the state police for about 7 years on a task force, the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, which involves a group of federal agencies as well as state police and local agencies fighting crime against specifically children, child exploitation, child pornography, human trafficking, child rape, child prostitution.
And when I reached out to you in regards to this matter today and the appellant's application denial, subsequent appeal, I asked you if you had any personal recollection of your dealings with the appellant, and you responded via email that you had. If you could share for the board what you recall in terms of your interactions with the appellant, what your investigation entailed, what it yielded, and your experience with the appellant.
Yes, I remember this case because at that time, I had been reached out to by three different agencies at the same time about the subject. The Department of Children's and Family, DCF, had reached out to me. At the same time, the NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, reached out to me, as well as our own sex offender registry. And the name that was consistent between them was the subject's name. He had been previously convicted for obscenity, risk of injury to a child and was currently on the sex offender registry, and he had parole as well at that time. He had violated his parole and his sex offender registry requirements, and they were reaching out to me for assistance. At the same time, DCF had an application that had his name on it. Someone was reporting a suspected case of child abuse, child neglect, child rape, as well as the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children had sent us a thorough investigation of online activity where there was a gentleman that we researched and turned out to be the subject, the suspect here. And he was posting online pictures and text stating that he wanted to have sex with his 13-year-old stepdaughter, that he was in love with her, and that when he had sex with his fiance, he thinks about the 13-year-old instead. So this led to our investigation, working with the chief and his department. The subject was made aware of this, the registry violations. He came to the police department to turn himself in. And then at that point, we set up an interview with him for the next day, and we presented him with some of those images that we found online. At first, he denied knowing about the images, and then when I told him that the account that he was using, which was supposed to be anonymous, is really not anonymous, after we had submitted search warrants to the company, it revealed the IP address that he was taking some of these actions from, and that IP address was his house. And then we had him review the pictures again. At that point, he admitted that he was the one posting the pictures. He initialed on the pictures, stating that that fact was correct. And that at that time, we proceeded with his violation of his sex offender registry, which had to do with not having internet accounts, which he did, leaving the country multiple times, which he did, and other violations. So he was arrested at that time for those violations.
When you say at that time, what time was it?
So the sex offender registry warrant application for parole was processed through the South Windsor Police Department, and they're the ones who effected that arrest after our investigation.
And what was the date?
I am not positive. Maybe Chief has that.
The investigation was, I was the detective unit supervisor at the time. I assigned the investigation to one of the investigators on January 15th, 2016. Thank you. Lieutenant Rosenberg, based on your experiences with the appellant and the investigation, would you feel comfortable with him in possession of a permit to carry a firearm in the state of Connecticut?
I would not, and I actually question other things about his belief in law and order and following rules. Over the last 4 years, he's been stopped by the state police multiple times for reckless driving. So that means going over 60 miles an hour on a local road, over 85 miles an hour on a highway. There are stops.
I'm going to object to this testimony. I'd like to know what the basis is. Is there a record?
Yes.
Of convictions?
There is at least one, yes.
There is? I thought that he has no record.
When I looked in our state police history, that's what it's showing me. That's what I read.
I thought that the chief said that
he maybe let him finish.
Okay.
And then cross-examine
okay.
Him.
So, as part of my research, I read my previous cases. I reread the search warrant application. I reread the arrest warrant. And like the chief does with the applications, I looked in our state police database history, and it showed in 2017 that he was stopped. In 2018, I think it was twice. In 2023, and on one of those occasions, it was showing in our records that he went to court and it said guilty. So that's what I'm going with. And it was for reckless driving. So my belief is that he does not have the willingness to abide by any law. That's my opinion, that's my belief, and I do not think he is suitable to own a handgun, and I question the suitability of whether or not he should be driving as well. That's my personal opinion.
I also have questions for the appellant, if I may.
Let's cross-examine. Attorney Sherman cross-examine. Okay.
At this point, I'm going to move for continuance because I look at the, what is it, three sentences here in the questionnaire and compare it with the testimony we've just heard. I've had no opportunity to prepare based on this compared with what Lieutenant Rosenberg had just testified about.
I don't know our...
The questionnaire doesn't ask for disclosure of witnesses or anything like that.
It's not a matter of witnesses. It's a matter of, I don't have any dates in here. He has a significant history with the Connecticut State Police. You know, I have a Connecticut State Police history too because I've had a pistol permit for 40 years.
Right.
They have a file on me. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not a significant file. It's not germane to these proceedings. So which the matters that are germane to these proceedings are voluminous.
This questionnaire, the information in this is next to meaningless when I compare it with the testimony here of Lieutenant Rosenberg, and I've been unable to prepare based on this questionnaire, so I'd like to ask for a reasonable continuance.
What is our policy on continuances?
If the chair feels that the appellant did not have adequate information or new information that was brought to light during the hearing, anybody can jump in. Then the appellant does have a right to due process to allow, you know, what's going to be brought to bear during this hearing.
If I may, I think
he's asking for history. So let me just finish. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that's sort of the history of the board on how we've done things like that.
And as the board may gather, I'm very much in doubt about this reckless driving stuff, for example, about whether there are any convictions.
I think it's a fairly serious thing to omit records of convictions, if there are any there, from the packet that the appellant's attorney gets and then we get, because I was surprised by hearing a lot of this. Yeah. And I think he has, in my opinion, he has a point. He needs to prepare the defense.
As the issuing authority, can we strike the reckless driving part of it from the record and proceed? Because I think in the grand scheme of what this packet says, that's immaterial.
There's an awful lot of information that the lieutenant has presented to us that I don't recall seeing in the record at all.
Right.
And it seems to me it would be better, in fact, if there was a more voluminous, more complete record from the issuing authority.
I think the issue with that is the case was, if I can correct me if I'm wrong, it was pardoned, so there aren't police reports to provide. We have to depend on the testimony.
And to Mr. Oliver's point, he said that if the appellant isn't aware of any information that was provided, I would like to ask the appellant if he's aware of the information that was just provided by
the appellant was. I don't know if the attorney was.
He's had months to prepare and ask the appellant about his history. Just because I'm just
looking at the questionnaire, possession of large amounts of improperly stored prescription meds, previous desire to take his own life, DCFs, unwilling to leave the appellant unsupervised with children.
I understand that completely, so let me just flip the coin here.
I didn't say anything about the lieutenant testified about.
There's a position where it says Ed asked for who's going to testify. There's nothing in the letter to me or in the questionnaire.
So in
the chief's letter to the appellant, he did put in there, you know, it is what it is. I think the appellant's aware of what it means. Report social misconduct, all contributing to the unsuitability. So he listed out the prescription medication, the store, you know, off storage, the suicide, questionable, and then the last line, which I think goes to the lieutenant's testimony, the reported social misconduct.
Right.
I think you could have been more, you're trying to, I don't know if you're trying to be polite, you could have been more.
Of course I am.
Upfront and say you reported sexual, you know, sexual misconduct.
Sure, and the appellant is aware of all this, just because the appellant may or may not have brought the attention of Attorney Sherman.
That's my feeling as well. I felt that the chief was attempting to be considerate and delicate, and that the appellant would well know what the chief was referring to.
There's also a psych report in the, in this.
That was going to be my next point.
That the, talks about those issues, maybe not in that detail, but certainly the appellant's aware, and I would imagine that it came from the attorney anyway, so he'd be aware of that. The reckless driving,
It's a moot point, like I said, we can strike that from the record. That's not the hill I'm looking to die on.
I don't feel much about that.
It's not just the reckless driving. There's a great deal, first of all, your point, chief, about erased matters and so on, that's fine. But there's no reason in the questionnaire that the issuing authority could not refer to erased matters that they're going to have a live witness testify about. This board has a history of granting continuances in situations like this so that one side doesn't get ambushed. That's the whole point.
It's not an ambush.
But reckless driving isn't as much of an ambush as the other factors that we are considering.
Right, and there's other, but there's other information in what he's testifying about that's just grossly missing from this questionnaire. And I'll be frank, some of it is new to me, and I've been unable to prepare for this.
Has Lieutenant Rosenberg filled out the questionnaire? Might have a different point.
I think I'm still speaking, if you don't mind.
No, by all means, carry on, Attorney Sherman.
And to continue at this point, I think it's going to deprive this appellant of effective assistance of counsel. We're only talking a couple months.
I think there's enough issue here that we should grant a continuance, which unfortunately would mean that you would have to return, but your testimony is important, and I hope that you can return. As far as the reckless driving...
The reckless driving is a complete non-issue in this.
I have to agree with you. I don't know that that's that important. But to complete the record, it probably should be included. So I would be in favor of granting a continuance. But I'm...
Your charge.
It's your decision.
You're in charge.
I'm just wondering if there's any additional comment from the board.
I agree.
Okay. So... How long a continuance?
Whatever we can do reasonably, which is probably August or September.
I'll have to look.
Okay. We'll work it out.
So we'll let you know.
If we have another date, chief, that you're here, we'll try and get you.
That's fine.
August 7th, that doesn't matter. I can be here. I mean, I feel very strongly about this.
No.
We have a psychological report with 34 tabs and items of concern. Okay. So I will be back. I'll move my schedule around to make sure that I'm heard.
My only question is, does the LT have to return, or do we already have his testimony on the record?
I might need to cross-examine. I don't know.
Okay, because I couldn't remember if you passed on the cross.
No.
I think so. I'm sorry to ask you.
I don't have enough background to cross-examine.
That was awfully important.
More than happy.
Do you have an appointment on the 7th?
I forget which. I just got the notice on my desk yesterday.
Yeah, it's probably the 7th. Mm. 7th, and so we could add it to that.
You got to remember, there's always a chance that with a continuance, the appellant may decide not to proceed or whatever.
So we will grant a continuance, and
I'll double check the date.
And we'll work it out.
Yeah.
Okay. I know I have something August 7th, too.
And clearly important that as much information as can be shared.
Right. Okay. Understood. Respectfully, though, for the record, I can't share testimony that I haven't heard yet. I can tell you this is the person who's come to testify.
Okay.
Understood.
And I don't know. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. I understand.
Complicated.
But it's not that complicated.
We've never had to
respectfully
do that before when there's been a witness. I've never seen.
Attorney Sherman has been doing this a long time. This is not his first rodeo.
Well, not so much a witness. I have seen in which there's been times in which there was information.
It's the content.
That the content of the information was completely, I don't want to say it was different, it was either omitted or something completely different than the questionnaire said. I don't know if this one meets that standard or not, but in which...
Well, and I understand the difficulty that...
No, I'm just going to the doctor's point that we have had continuously in the past regarding content and new information we brought up.
So as I understand that, but I've not seen listed
and I'm bringing so-and-so.
No, no, you never witness witnesses, and I don't think that's, I don't think that's what Attorney Sherman is talking about, a witness, it's content.
I've never seen that. So does the questionnaire have to be redone?
I was just gonna ask that.
I think it's pretty much on the record now. I wouldn't worry about it.
In the testimony.
My understanding is that Lieutenant Rosenberg has approved time off contemporaneous to that August 7th date, so can you confirm now that I'm back on August 7th for a matter of...
Can I do that this afternoon?
Yeah, that's fine, I just, I don't wanna...
We'll make it work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
All right, yep, all right, very good.
Thank you.
Sorry, Adam.
No, you're good.